You can take your Bibles, be turning to the book of Genesis, chapter number 45. It is a privilege to be here again this year and enjoyed the preaching, Brother Timothy. I know his heart, and I know you men understand where he's coming from. We're having a meeting in September, and I've already made the flyer up for the preachers that'll be preaching, and it kind of scares me because it seems like about every month you're hearing of another one falling. And I've got confidence in you men, I do. I know the Bible said not to put confidence in man. I'm not putting it in man, but I have confidence in you and your ministries. And it would sure break my heart to hear that you fell out by the way. And I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Genesis chapter 45, if you'll stand, we'll read one verse, let you be seated. Brother Dotson had said something about maybe preaching, and I had something else that I wanted to preach, like Brother Rupert said. But I just want to brag on the Lord a little bit this morning. And he sure has been good to me. And he sure has been good. Genesis chapter 45, just read one verse. The Bible said in verse number 27, "And they told him all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived." You can be seated. Thank you for standing. It's been said that there's at least 101 types of Christ in the life of Joseph. If that's true, that every Sunday we could preach on Joseph and magnify the Lord. I feel I've failed in my ministry to magnify the goodness of the Lord, and he surely has been good. But there's just some things that I want to browse around in this 45th chapter, and we'll use our Bibles a little bit. But I just look, and we can't preach all of them, but there are some great comparisons to Christ in the life of Joseph. In verse number 5, the Bible said, "Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." And it shows Joseph's power. God, you know how that God raised him up. And he was second only to Pharaoh. But I'm glad the Lord has power this morning. Joseph said, "For God did send me," and we know Jesus is the Son of God. At the end of verse number 5, he said that he was sent before you to preserve life. And I'm glad that's how you and I got here this morning. He has preserved us. It's not in what we've done or didn't do, but it's in the goodness of God. In verse number 6, he talks about the purpose of love. He said, "For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be eating or be earing nor harvest." And it talks about the purpose that Joseph had and his intervention in their life. And I'm glad there's been a few times that God's intervened in my life, in the ministry, in the church, and God did what I could not do. In verse number 8, it talks about his providence. I love verse number 8. 8's a number, a new beginning, they said. And the Bible said in verse number 8, "So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God." And you know, I know a lot of y'all know a little bit about my past, but don't feel sorry for me. And I know my brother took himself out of this world. I tried to bring the Southern Baptist and the Independent Baptist, and the last man that put his arms out like that, they nailed him on a cross. But don't feel sorry for me. It was God's providential leading. He said, "Set me over in this little valley a few miles down the road," and that's the good. Joseph's not bitter. He's telling his brethren. He said, "It was God that did what you couldn't do, what I couldn't do. I wouldn't have chose it. You wouldn't have chose a lot of things in life, but it's not God. It's not man." You can look back in your life and you can see that, you know, maybe God used human instrumentality. It may have been a deacon board. It may have been a disaster in life. It may have been something that God providentially allowed to move you where you are. But as Brother Rupert said, we can look back and see the goodness of God, the grace of God in our lives. In verse number 9, there's the potentate's longing. He said, "Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, Thou, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt." I'm glad that Jesus is Lord. When I got saved 26 years ago, you'd go to meetings like
like this. The first message would be, you got to make him Lord. The next message would be, he's already Lord. And I'd scratch my head and leave. I'd say, they're all saying the same thing. When you pillow your head at night, he better be Lord of your life. Whether you understand you made him Lord in an altar or you accept him as he's always been, Joseph is telling his brethren that he is Lord. God has made him Lord, and that's his longing for communion. He gives promises to live by in verse number 10. He said, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds, and all that thou hast. The Lord's done that for me, Brother Dotson. My oldest boy is 21, my next one's 20, Esther's 15, but Zeke's got a job over now in Spruce Pine working for Uniman. Bubba, he works down at Alltech. And not only has God blessed me and my wife, but he has blessed our children. And he has kept us in the same valley, in the same town. I know you young preachers want to go preach. I know, Brother Scott, you're chomping at the bit. You can sing, you can do it. Beautiful wife and everything God's give you. But I'm going to tell you, there's something about being in the will of God. And I'm not against going out and preaching, but I'm going to tell you, it's about 30 or 35 minutes of limelight. Then you go back to a motel room. Joseph is saying, I'm not bitter. He said, it's God. He said, I'm going to be the preserver of your life, but not just you, but your children and your children's children. That is the goodness of God in our lives. There's three or four things that I want to pull out of these verses and see if the Lord will help us this morning. In verse number 27 and verse 26, our text verse, his brethren came back to their daddy, to Jacob. They began to say some things to their father that you and I can say this morning. You may not realize it, you may not fully understand it, but what they said, we're able to say this morning. If you're, even if you're lost here, God's been good to you. He's gave you another opportunity. He's gave you life and health and strength, allowed you to come sit under the Word of God with the people of God. But we can say, we can recall what the brethren said to Jacob. In verse number 26, they began to say that the Almighty lives. In verse 26, they told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. I'm glad that God is alive. I'm glad Jesus is alive. I'm glad the Holy Ghost is alive. When me and Bubba was selling wood a while back, we went up Salto. There's some strange people when you get on way up in there. We went up there to unload a load of wood. I heard somebody out in the back. I thought, man, it's an old timer back there praying. I went back there, and there's a guy back there, Brother Rupert. He was talking to a tree. He was praying to that tree. Bubba looked at me and I looked at him. I said, what in the world? Hey, I've never had a tree help me. I've never had a tree hear me. I've never had a tree satisfy the longing and the hurt and the pain. But there's been a few times I bowed down in a broken heart, not even knowing what to say, how to say, but knowing who I was saying it to. Joseph's brothers came back and they said, he's alive. I don't worship a tree. I don't know about Allah and Buddha and all that crowd, just what I've read and heard others preach, but I know one that heard my cry 26 years ago, and ever since then, he's been hearing, he's been answering, he's been everything he said he would be, and so much more. He's alive. They said it in verse 26, they saw it in verse 27. They saw the evidence, and they told him all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them. And when they saw the wagons, they saw the evidence. You're looking around this morning on a Tuesday morning at the evidence of the grace of God. I'm talking about in the falling away, in the days of apostasy, right before the Lord's coming, Israel, everything that happened yesterday in her 70th birthday, we're right at the end. But still, the people of God are gathering and worshiping and going on. He's alive. He's alive. They saw it and they said it. In verse 3 and 4, they were able to say that he's the sovereign. In verse 3 and 4, I don't have time to read all of them, but Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. In verse number 4, Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray to thee. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph. I heard somebody else say, I am. And it was God when he was talking to Moses. He said, you go tell them, I am that I am has sent thee. I'm telling you, he is sovereign. He's the goodness of God. I heard a man say it, and I agreed with it. He's sovereign in all, or he's sovereign not at all. I understand people get off on election and all of that, but I'm going to tell you, that's how we pillow our head at night. He's not putting this thing together as he goes. He's not wringing his hands worrying what he's going to do. Joseph said, God allowed all of this so I could preserve your lives in the goodness of God. Notice in verse number 9, he's Lord. Not only does the Almighty live, but he's the Lord of all. In verse number 9, Joseph made the statement. He said, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. You see, Joseph, in Joseph and in Christ, there's the glory in his beauty. There just ain't nobody like him. I tried a lot of things for 28 years, but there's nobody like him. There is pleasure in sin for a season, but one day you wake up, what you thought you controlled controls you, but there's nobody like him. There was no one like unto Joseph in the land. Joseph's glorious in his beauty. He's gracious to bestow. What he did to his brethren, they did not deserve. What he's done for you and I, what he's doing for you and I, what he will do for you and I, we do not deserve. He's gracious to bestow. But I like that in verse number 5, that goodness of Joseph and not bitterness. I watch these older men that I've got a lot of confidence in. Brother Sammy Allen, he's getting ready. He's 80 years old. He's not like he was 26 years ago when I got saved. But I'm going to tell you, I've watched some of these great men of God. And they're able to come down to the end of their life, Brother Eddie, and they're not bitter. I don't want to come down to the end of this thing all mad and blowed up at you and Newland and Asheville. I don't want to come down to the end of life with hatred and bitterness. I've had all the bitterness I want. Joseph's not bitter. He wants his brethren to know it wasn't you. You were the human instrumentality that God used to set me up where I'm at to save your lives. Joseph knew who they were before they knew who he was. That Joseph was calling out to them when they were running from him. Joseph was not going to leave bitter. He wasn't going to leave this world bitter. Joseph saw a bigger picture than their actions. He saw the providence of the Almighty. Oh my. Where are we at? We still got 10 minutes, 15 minutes. He lives. He's the Almighty. He's the Lord of all. I'm glad one day I saw him as Lord. I'm glad that he loves us. That's his greatest attribute. You go back to verse number 1. You remember when Christ made himself known to you when you were lost. Joseph, he could not refrain in verse number 1. Could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, calls every man to go out from him. There stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. I remember that Friday night. My brother had preached the word of God. The people of God had prayed. But it was a God of the other world that came and revealed himself unto me. I'm telling you, we'll never exhaust who God is. Watching him every page of this Bible that you turn, he made himself known unto his brethren. Verse number 2, there's a mirror of Jesus hanging at Calvary when he began to weep. No, I'm glad that he loves us more than we'll ever understand. Not just loved us, but he loves us more than we'll ever understand. Verse number 3, there's those I call the miserable at heart. I sure remember. Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. That Friday night when the Holy Ghost began to speak to my heart about salvation, I was troubled in my spirit. I didn't know eschatology, and I didn't know all of the things of the Word of God. Still don't know a whole lot now, just what you men have told me. But I knew there was a voice I've never heard before. I knew it was calling from somewhere far way. Now, I knew it was speaking to my heart like nobody else had ever spoken. That voice was saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. That's where sin it took me. I was labored and heavy laden. Could not find peace. Could not find rest. But there was a voice that spoke unto my soul. I appreciate the goodness of God. Love is His greatest attribute. But I want to say this one and we'll be done. He's loaded in His abundance. Come over to verse number 10. I'm glad these things happened in my life. I didn't have to just read them out of a book. They happened in my life. In verse number 10, there's His attraction. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, thy children's children, thy flocks, thy herds, and all that thou hast. He's loaded in His abundance, His attraction to His presence. He said, you're going to be with me, I'm going to be with you. I'm glad He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. In verse number 11, there's His ability to provide. He said, I will nourish thee. And He has, and He is, and He will. I'm glad He's ever been the lover of my soul. I'm glad He hasn't just fed me physically, met my needs, but He's been everything inside that this lost man needs. 26 years ago, He's loaded in His abundance. His ability to keep them from poverty at the end of verse number 11. The Bible said, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. He's going to take care of His own. These brothers, you know, they picture the lost men. They lived in a time of famine. Watch what happens in verse number 7. And God sent me. Don't get nervous about that. That's what your King James Bible said. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. I didn't know that was in the Bible 26 years ago, but there was a great deliverance took place. There was a great escape took place that night. I like how the Corbett used to sing years ago. I got it that way. He didn't save me and leave me. He brought me out, took me out, changed my life, changed my crowd, changed my voice, changed my language. It's almost like that verse was real, where it said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Not perfect, but a whole lot better than what I used to be. Oh my. Joseph saves. Jesus saves. It was a great deliverance. Verse number 20, we'll get through these and we'll be done. Verse 20, also regard not your stuff, for the God of all the land of Egypt is yours. You know what happens to a sinner when they get saved? They trade their stuff for God's stuff. I'm going to tell you, God's stuff's a whole lot better than our stuff. You say, preacher, I don't know if I want to let go of him or let go of her or let go of the money or let go of the land or the power or the addictions or whatever. I'm telling you, if you'll make that trade, they used to sing something like, I put off the old coat and I put on the new. I know he does the work. They were just telling us what had happened in their life. God made a change. He said, if you'll take my stuff over your stuff, it'll be the greatest deal you've ever made in this life. Oh my, I'm glad he took my sin and my scars. Everything, I was dealing with the preacher up in Virginia or Kentucky last week. He had a lot of tattoos before he got saved. Kept them covered up. It was hot. It was hot. And he kept them covered up. He said, preacher, I'm ashamed. I said, you know, really, unless you want to spend a whole ton of money, there ain't a whole lot you can do. I said, but son, you don't understand my scars. I don't have physical tattoos. I said, but mine's inside. Mine's in here. When I get to heaven, the street of gold, that's big. But I've never had, this gold I got ain't real. I've never seen one pearl that was so big they could make a gate out of it. But I'm telling you, to be able to go to a place where you can pillow your head and memory's gone and the past is gone and condemnation, I understand positionally there's no condemnation. But my mind, my flesh, my memory haunts me. Dream worlds bring me up in places I thought I'd never go back to. Heaven will be a place of great deliverance when we get there. There's trading his stuff, our stuff for his stuff. Verse 21, there's the transportation supplied. Verse 21, and the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons. I pulled up out here, I saw Chevrolet wagons. I saw some Dodge wagons. I even saw some foreign wagons. And I'm not just talking about the literal transportation that we've got, but God has been so good to us. God has blessed us. God has let us be in a place where the Bible's preached. I was in a good area last week, but what we've got to hear, what we've got to taste, the rest of our own country has not been in this atmosphere. They talk about how the choirs in North Carolina sing. They don't know all the dirt and everything you and I know, but they know it's different here than it is up there. I'm telling you, God has been good to us in His provision. He gave them provision. Verse number 22, to all of them He gave each man a changes of raiment. He gives them some silver. I remember when I got saved. I got saved December 21st, 91 on a Friday night. The next week, I had the flu. The next week, my brother was preaching for Brother Sammy in the Christmas meeting. That's where I met my wife. Didn't know that was going to be my wife. But the next week, there in Knoxville, Brother James Langston was preaching for Brother Willis Shankles at Way of the Cross out on Broadway on the other side of town. I'd go anywhere anybody was preaching. I just wanted to be where preaching was. If it was within 100 miles and I had gas money, I'd be in Rockwood. I'd be Brother Jeff Plemons. I'd be at Brother Ed. I'd be wherever the Word of God was going for them two-week meetings. You couldn't wait to get off work and get to them. But I remember going in, Brother Scott, and I had on my cowboy boots, them snakeskin cowboy boots, them straight-leg Levi's. I had on a sweater. It was the winter time. And there's nothing wrong with boots and blue jeans, but them boots and blue jeans had been in some places I was ashamed of. They didn't know where they'd been. And it's in my heart. I said, these men have got some suits. And man, they sure do look different. And in my heart, I said, God, I'd like to have a change of outward raiment. You can believe it or not, find out when you get to heaven. The next morning when I got up, walked through the house, there were 10 suits laying on the table. My brother had cleaned his closet out. He said, here, God wants you to have these. You say, man, that was a long time ago. Last year I was down in Georgia. There was a preacher come up to me. He said, meet me out on highway so-and-so. We got out there. It was Brother Ken Bowman. He pulled that big black long thing, looked like the mafia up, opened them back doors. He said, pick any suit you want. They're all yours. I'm not talking about $100 suits or two. You say, that don't mean much. It does when you pleaded and begged God and God did something for you in your life. I know He changes us inwardly, but I'm telling you, He'll give us a lot of our wants and wishes in this life. Oh my. Well, we still got 5 minutes. Verse 23, where we at? Verse 23. And to his father he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. You say, what are you going to do with verse 23? Brother Edgar Thomas taught me this about alliteration. He said, it's not for them, it's for you. I call verse 23 a southern delicacy. You say, what's a southern delicacy? There's cornbread and meatloaf. He said, there's corn and bread and meat. I added the loaf, but I'm preaching. You can change it when you get up here. He'll give you the desires, the simple things that may not mean a whole lot to anybody else. I'm glad He's that intimate with us. I'm glad He loves us that much. Every individual this morning saved by the grace of God, there's a time when you'll remember when God came to you, helped you. He put His signature on what He was doing in your life. Jesus has given me a lot of what I needed, a lot of what I've wanted in this life. Verse 24, I mean, it's just the Bible. Hope it ain't boring you. Don't think it is. So He sent His brethren away, and they departed, and He said unto them, see that you fall not out by the way. I'm glad He put me in a straight way. I'm glad He put me in a scriptural way. I'm glad for the men of God that whet my appetite to study this Bible. My brother told me I had about 15 or 20 messages I preached to young people. Ball Road Baptist in Knoxville voted me in. I don't know what they're doing. They didn't know what they're doing a year after it. And he said, you're going to have to get rid of them 15 or 20 little topical messages. He said, you're going to have to get in this Bible, get in a book and start walking verse by verse and watch God take care of situations 6 months from now that you could have never intervened in. That's how big the Word of God is. It's a straight way. It's a good way. I've never complained. I've never complained about this life versus the other life on the worst day. In verse number 25, and they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan under Jacob their father. And that's just what salvation truly is. You get out of Egypt and you come into Canaan. There's still battles in Canaan. But I'm going to tell you, God brought us out not to go back in. Since I've lived here, I've met people. I used to make fun of them in Knoxville. Up your way, our way. I used to make fun. They were Church of God down here, down there, but here they're free will. And they believe they can lose their salvation. I'd make light, make fun of them, make jest about them when I'm preaching, when I was preaching. But now I've met some of them. And they struggle about if they don't do. It's really a works-based. You can't explain that to them. But they really believe if they do or don't do, they've got it or they don't have it. I didn't get it. I didn't perform it. I didn't start it. I can't finish it. He that hath begun a good work. I'm going to tell you, this Bible has set a lot of traditions and a lot of things that bring about turmoil. I've met people that worry and wonder. I've met young people recently that have just give up. And they said, we can't do it. There's no use trying. We're just going to go and que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. They're not even in church. I'm glad I got in the right way, the straight way. God's truly been good to us. There's 101 of them. I don't think you could stand and listen. I don't think I could preach all of them. 101 types of Christ in the life of Joseph. Don't get bitter. You may not understand it. You may be in a place right now and it looks like God's abandoned you. You know the story of Joseph. I know who's here this morning. You know how he was abandoned, how he was forgotten. But in due time, Brother Scott, in due time, God's going to elevate him to everybody's amazement. My Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to stand. Thank you for helping us today. Continue to have your hand and presence in this service. In your name we do pray. Amen.